I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know.
The point is, Aaron Gordon won the contest, had the most memorable dunks. Everyone knows it. He got robbed.
Would the NBA dunk contest be without a scoring controversy? That's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed via Skype and by Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Shireen, tell us, was Aaron Gordon robbed?
With all due respect to Derrick Jones Jr., the thing is, two finalists in the slam dunk competition, All-Star Weekend in Chicago, really great group of judges, Common, Dwayne Wade, Candace Parker, Scottie Pippen, who definitely needs a stylist, and Chadwick Boseman. Aaron Gordon gets up and performs these flawless dunks, which, you know, we're expecting him to get 10s. He gets a 9. We're all like, what? Derrick Jones Jr. gets up there, gets some 10s, more 10s than I think he deserved. And this is me asserting the blame on Dwayne Wade. I have absolutely zero proof it was only Dwayne Wade, although all the fingers seem to point there, because Derrick Jones Jr. and Dwayne Wade were teammates on Miami Heat. And I love Dwayne Wade. He has so much style. He's flawless as a parent. But I'm mad. Did those dunks by Aaron Gordon really deserve a 9? No. Like, was I watching the same screen? He jumped over Taco. He jumped over a 20-foot man. So I'm just going to go there and say, when you jump over another human who's that tall and you make that basket in splendid fashion, you deserve all the things. He didn't get the things. We've had a very difficult 2020. This was not helping.
Mike, what do you make of all this?
Okay, first of all, he didn't jump over Taco. He hit him in the head pretty clearly. But, you know, if Taco Fall was only 7'2", it would have been more impressive.
Been fine.
But then, yeah. Isn't this all like blaming, one of the participants in the Iowa caucus or, you know, the Waterloo District vote counter as opposed to the process itself? Don't hate the player. Don't hate the judge. Hate the game. The scoring system of the slam dunk contest, this is the most important contest in sports. I'll give you that. The scoring system is crazy because everyone wants to signal how impressed they were, and just giving out 10s either have a greater range of scores, make a decision that you only have a certain number of 10s to give out. There are a lot of better ways to do it, but Dwayne Wade didn't come up with the best way. I'll give you that.
Mike, I'm with you here. I really think it's the system that's at fault. I mean, there is a hard enough time scoring sports like figure skating and gymnastics. And like in those sports, every element of every routine has been rated, you know, for difficulty before the event even happens. And still in those sports, sometimes it feels really random. And sometimes it feels like the best person didn't win. So I don't know what we expect to happen when we take athletes and celebrities, nothing against athletes and celebrities, but they're not experienced judges, and we ask them to judge something that is highly subjective and highly unpredictable. I mean, that Taco Fall dunk wasn't even planned. I don't know, Shireen. I actually think expecting fairness in this sort of thing might be setting the bar too high.
I think I agree, but like, can I just be mad at Dwayne Wade about this? Can I have this one? Can I just be mad?
You can. You absolutely can. It is 2020. You have the right to be mad about anything. Okay, Mike, I understand that you also want to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend, but you've been thinking about the actual game.
Yes, and so are the people who decided how the game was to be played. They wanted to mix things up because they know the All-Star game is just horribly, horribly boring. So there's this scoring structure called the Elam ending. Well, they trotted out this idea, and let's just say that a lot of the people paid to analyze sports for a living weren't that pleased. Here's WFAN's Mike Francesa.
The fourth quarter will be untimed. Are we playing forever? Instead, a target score will be set by adding 24 points to the total of whichever team has the lead through three quarters. I mean, come on, this is just downright silly.
And guess what? The players were so into it. And a charge. Kyle Lowry took a charge. This is unheard of in an All-Star game. He ran the length of the court. Spike Lee ran the length of the court as well. It was so unbelievably exciting. I'm so glad that, like a technocrat, Adam Silver said, we're going with this ending. We're trying this. And I want to see this in a lot more regular season games.
Okay, I'm going to respectfully disagree. I failed stats first year. Math is not my forte. And I was sitting there going, what's happening? And the game was amazing. The fourth quarter was amazing. But I don't know if they were motivated necessarily by this new format. For people that have never seen this before, namely myself, I'm like, what is happening? It was bizarre. And isn't boring part of the game?
No.
I'm a soccer player. 90 minutes, some of that game is ugly and boring, but that's the sport. Do we have to be constantly entertained here? And I really get down to it. I just don't want to add any numbers. That's really what I could say. I just don't.
I also am not a fan of math, but I am a fan of entertainment. And I know that change is hard, but I love that you wanted to talk about this, Mike, because it gave me a chance to go back and listen again to Martin Kessler's story about the Elam ending. He did it back in May of 2017. And for those doing math, I know math is hard. That was like 3 years ago. This has been out there for a while. And here's something Nick Elam said back then.
To be honest, my highest hope for this idea is that it is adopted at every level of play and that it will be remembered where one day I'm being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Mike, that sounded downright crazy 3 years ago. But yeah. Now the NBA says that they will discuss using the Elam ending in the G League and in future All-Star games. Mm. We can all learn to do the math, I think. Did last weekend's game put Nick Elam's future Hall of Fame induction into the realm of possibility?
I think so. I mean, right with the guy who invented the fake yellow line for first down. Different halls of fame. But to address your point, this was a failure of the announcing crew to even try to explain it. Mm. Maybe they thought, oh, we'll just see how it played out. But I think it's incontrovertible. And the participants of the game said it, and almost every commentator said it, that the excitement at the end of the game was a direct outgrowth to the Elam ending.
All right. So by now, everyone has probably seen at least one replay of the horrific crash during the final few seconds of Monday's Daytona 500. Ryan Newman is okay. He was released from the hospital on Wednesday. And that has a lot of people talking about an eerily similar crash, the one that killed Dale Earnhardt 19 years ago. Some are saying Dale Earnhardt's death saved Ryan Newman's life. And they're not totally wrong. Six-point safety harnesses, head and neck restraint systems, containment seats, energy-absorbing foam, tougher crumple zones, and even softer walls around the tracks. All of these things have helped to make the sport safer. But I've been thinking a lot this week about how technology can sometimes give people a false sense of security. And I'm thinking here specifically about football, where there's been a huge push to build a better helmet, but of course no helmet has been shown to reduce concussions. That is not what helmets do. So while I'm glad that the technology worked for Ryan Newman, I worry about this tendency to believe that technology can solve everything.
Yeah, no, your point about the helmets is a good one. I interviewed Michael Waltrip, who won the race, and Waltrip himself says that the safety constraints have absolutely saved lives ever since then. When we're talking about saving lives and we're talking about something that's been demonstrated to work, I think it's one thing. But when we talk about helmets, there is always the push and pull. And the better the helmets are, the more likely the wearer of the helmets will engage in dangerous behavior. I mean, shoulder pads themselves save the shoulders, but hurt the head. There is no magic cure for head trauma in football. I think it's unwise to think there is. If anyone holds that as the false hope that football will be, you know, as safe as cross-country running, they're going to be mistaken.
Shireen?
Ryan Newman's recovery and seeing the photo of him walking out of the medical center was staggering. Like, I didn't think he had survived that at all when I saw it. But I agree. Like, if there's ways to make something safer, I think it's definitely worth the while to invest into that. However, let's be very clear that there will be an element of danger. There is. And it would be disingenuous for us to pretend like that's not a reality. As long as we don't rely false hope on things, I get it. But then we still engage in it. That's our choice.
Absolutely. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Shireen Ahmed, co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast via Skype, and Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.